Lord, we're so thankful to be here. Father, I pray more than ever this morning that Your will would be done. In each and every one of us this morning, may we listen and hear from You, Lord. What You have to speak to each and every one of us individually, may we truly hear from You this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And these verses I had on my mind all week. Well, from probably about Tuesday or Wednesday on. But there was a couple other stories in the Bible, and I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to preach on, and I was really struggling. But these verses just kept coming up and kept coming up. And when I first read over them, I thought, I can't get a whole sermon out of that. And was just thinking, well, Lord, whatever You want me to do. Something kind of crazy happened this week. I was just saying Wednesday night how I don't really listen to music much anymore, or anything. But towards the end of the week, I rediscovered praise and worship music. You guys might say, what, Pete, what are you talking about? Well, my old truck has got Hayden's sound system in it, and it's pretty much always on praise and worship music. And I was driving that old truck, and some praise and worship came on, and it was just like, this is awesome. This sounds so good. Friday I started listening to it. Saturday morning when I got up and was by myself and I just put on YouTube on my phone and hooked it up to the Bluetooth to the speaker and just started listening to praise and worship while I was studying. And I kind of hate to admit this, but I just started crying. And I couldn't quit, and I was like bawling. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if Crystal comes in here and sees me, she's going to be like, what is wrong with you? Why are you in here? And I was just crying my eyes out and just listening to that music over and over. And as I began to prepare this sermon, and then it's like, oh no, I've got too much. I'm going into a third, a fourth page. I'll keep them there till 2 o'clock. And so what I thought was going to be a short message, I've whittled it down, so I promise I'm not going to keep you here till 2 o'clock. But let's see what the Lord has to say to each one of us this morning. Matthew 11:28 says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And so we're going to kind of take these verse by verse here. Verse 28, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want you to think about that. How many of you feel weary? How many of you feel burdened? How many of you, you know, the worries and the cares of your job, of your family, of maybe a sickness, there's something going on, and you just maybe feel run down this morning. You just feel like there's a great burden on you, and some of us may be feeling that burden, and we don't even know why. And as I was thinking about this, and I thought for myself, you know, why do I feel so burdened? And it's usually because I'm worried about something. It's usually because something's on my mind and it's grabbed hold of me. And so jump back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Just flip back a few pages. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And so I'm sitting there thinking about that, and I think, you know, I don't really worry about my clothes that much. Most of them's outdated and old anyway, and it's just me. You know, I don't really worry about it that much. I do worry too much about food, I'm not going to lie, what I'm going to eat. And usually right after lunch, I'm thinking, what are we having for dinner tonight? And by about 3 o'clock, I'm texting Crystal, what are we having for dinner? What are we doing, you know? Because by then, I'm already getting hungry again, and I worry too much about food. I don't really worry about if I'm going to eat, it's more, what am I going to eat? So, you know, I don't have that worry, but I do worry too much. I worry about circumstances. I worry about people. I worry about this church. I take things on more than I should. And who of us, by worrying, can add a single hour to our life? I struggle with this, and when I look at these verses that come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, what's the problem? Why am I so weary? Why am I so burdened? It's because I'm still worrying instead of giving it to the Lord, and so I have not found the rest that I should have found. Verse 28 says, and why do you worry about clothes? See the lily of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Y'all, there's a lot of good advice. There's a lot of good word in what we just read there. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you as He's trying to speak to me. And that I need to quit worrying about so much stuff that might not even happen. Worrying about things that are happening and have faith that God can work it out. That God can take care of it. Because I'm not going to lie to y'all, if I allow myself, my mind takes me to places that I don't need to be, and there's relationships, there's circumstances, there's things right now that if I'm not careful can consume me, because I want to fix it, I want to make it right, I want to work things out, and some things I really can't fix, I can't make right, I can't change other people, and so I really need to begin to trust in the Lord. And verse 32 says, for the pagans run after all those things. And I don't want to be like the pagans, do you? I don't want to be chasing after all the worldly things. I want to be chasing after my Heavenly Father. And so, now back to Matthew 11. In the next verse, 29, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So I got really excited right here when I was looking at this, and a yoke. Okay, it is a wooden beam normally used between a pair of ox or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs. Okay, so he's saying, take my yoke upon you. So to me, a yoke represents work. You guys might not want to hear that this morning. A yoke represents work. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So when I'm looking at this, a yoke was placed on an animal when it was time to work. And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to work. Maybe I need to hear that. Maybe I need to understand that. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So even in the Garden of Eden, God took Adam and He says to work it and take care of it. For some of us, heaven might mean here on earth is kick back, watching television, and doing nothing. But that's not heaven, and that's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to work. God's called us to labor. Proverbs 14:23 says, All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So you can talk a good talk, right? But it's not going to get you anywhere. It's hard work that brings profit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is where we're going to next. If I can get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us." So, do you know what idle means? It means not working. It means standing still. It means being in the same place. It says, stay away from them. Verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you." I have little things written out next to my Bible here, and I can't hardly even read my own writing here, but one of the things in this is, and I think it says, "Are you a burden by what you don't do?" You know, sometimes he says, we didn't want to be a burden to any of you. And sometimes, you know, he's talking about he's working hard and doing. But sometimes we can be a burden by what we don't do, by expecting someone else to do it. And it's that way spiritually too. We can become a burden to others by God's called us to do a job, God's called us to do something, and we're not doing it. And so someone else has to carry the load. Verse 9 says, "We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat." I want you to think about that in our culture and our society today. I struggle, and I don't want to get all political and everything else, but I struggle with how many people don't work now. How many people sit at home? How many people have their feet propped up and they're rewarded for it? Y'all, I have absolutely no problem at all with my tax dollars going to help people that are disabled, that can't work. Praise God that there's money provided for them, but there's so many people now taking advantage of that they're healthier than I am, and they're sitting at home drawing a check, and I think about that, and I get angry, and I get mad. And I think, well, we go back to the biblical thing here, if a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. I don't want to be all political and everything with you. But I want you to think about this spiritually too. Are you seeking God in the Word of God? Are you praying? You know, you might come in here week after week and say, "Man, Pete's sermon, it was not that good. I didn't get anything out of it. What's he even talking about?" And, you know, you listen to someone on the radio, and, man, they're so awesome, and why do we even bother going to church? And you might be right. That person on the radio, I listen to some preachers on the radio, and they are pretty awesome, and I feel inferior. It's like, wow, they, you know. But I wonder, though, how many of us, we're not eating when we come to church because we've not worked. Does that make sense at all? When you're hungry and you're seeking God and you're opening up the Word and you're trying to hear from Him, you know, God's going to answer. God's going to speak to you. It's always amazed me, and I'm not going to call names, but there's a few people, and I can just tell they're getting something when I'm preaching. And they might say something after the church, "Man, when you said this," or "I really appreciated that." And there's other people, you can just tell they're not getting anything. Is it me? It could be. Or is it you? Y'all, sometimes I really believe that we need to open up the Bible and not expect someone else to just spoon feed us. Okay? Not expect someone else to just be like, you know, like a baby bottle, sticking it in our mouth, you know, some baby food. If a man won't work, he won't eat. We hear that some among you, verse 11, are idle. They're not busy, they're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. You know, sometimes if you've been working real hard, you've been doing everything you feel like, and you get tired. Sometimes you feel like you're carrying the whole load. You go back to, my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Y'all, we cannot get tired of working for the kingdom of God. We cannot get tired of doing what is right. Verse 14 says, if anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. In verse 6, I didn't point it out, but the very first verse we read, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. And I got written out here that it's contagious. People that are lazy, it's contagious. You guys believe that? I mean, does anybody else ever notice that? You get around a lazy person, and what do you want to do? You want to become lazy. You get around somebody that's driven and works hard, it's contagious. You're like, man, I should really be doing this. I should really be doing that. We have to keep our guard up. We have to watch ourselves. Matthew 8, 14 and 15, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. I always love that, because she was sick in bed. Jesus touched her. She's healed. And what'd she do? She didn't kick back. No, she got up and began to work. She got up and began to be a servant. Y'all, for many of us, we become lazy in the things of God. And we're called to be servants. But how many of us are truly working and serving? Acts 20:35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of us understand that principle? How many of us really put that principle into practice? Not what can I get, who can give me, who can help me out, but what can I do for someone else? How can I serve? How can I help? How can I be a blessing to those around me? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We read that quite often here. Why? Because God has something prepared for every one of you. It doesn't matter if you're the oldest person in this room or the youngest person in this room. If you're disabled, if you're retired, if you're a housewife, if you go to work, if you're a husband that has a job and coaches a ball team, and you're busy and you don't even know where you can find time, God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us this morning. Are we looking for that daily? Are we saying, God, what would you have me do? This week, I was sharing in Sunday school, I struggled. People were making me mad at work, and I was struggling. And you know, sometimes I wonder if my work is just representing Christ at work, and when I say just representing Christ, I mean at FedEx, because it's a bad place some days. It's a real bad place. And maybe my job for that day is to just be as Christ-like as I can and allow the Holy Spirit to work in me so that people might see Jesus in me. That I don't act like everybody else. That I'm, you know, that's work. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, now this next part. And I got really excited thinking about this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Every time I've ever thought about a yoke, I've thought about just the fitting of it on a cow or a mule or whatever. But when I Googled it and was looking it up, in the definition, it says, normally used between a pair. I don't know that much about it, and maybe you guys might be, you know, like, no, it's just mainly one. But this says it's commonly used between a pair. Okay? That got me excited because Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So who am I yoked up with? It's Jesus. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I have Jesus with me. Y'all, that ought to get us all excited that when we're yoked up with Jesus, I don't have to carry this load on my own. I don't have to do it all by myself. Jesus is right beside me. Jesus is right there guiding and helping. It's for a pair. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Y'all, that should bring comfort to each and every one of us today. The Lord Himself goes before you. He will be with you. God is there. Jesus is there to work and help us and guide us and lead us. And when I saw the pictures of all the yokes and I thought about it and I thought, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Sometimes I feel so alone. And sometimes the burden feels so heavy. And sometimes I'm crying out going, God, where are you? And I don't realize that He's right here. He's right there with me every step of the way. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? How many of us can confidently say this morning that the Lord is my helper? That He's right there with us, that He's right there beside us, that He's right there to guide and direct us. In John chapter 14, verse 15, says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of the truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. He lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Church, do we understand how important that is today? You're not alone. If you're a widow, you're not alone. If you're unmarried, you're not alone. If all your family's passed and you're the only one left, you're not alone. You know what else? If you're married and you have kids and you have all those people around you, but you feel alone still sometimes, you're not alone. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You're not going to be left all alone. Verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Oh, that's good news today. If you're feeling the burden of this life, if you're worrying about what you're going to do about your job or your family or situations, you're worried about the church, whatever, quit worrying and begin to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And get yoked together with Him. And what does it say? That when we love Him, we will keep His commands. That He will be there to guide us and help us. We're going to go to the last verse now, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And y'all, like I said, I could have went another hour. I had so many more verses, but I lose you guys. I understand. I've preached on it this spring about attention deficit disorder. Right here is number one. I can't even make it through a 5-minute devotional. I want it to be a 2-minute devotional, and I'm done, you know. And so, but I was thinking about this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 John 5:1-5, and we're going to end. And he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, sometimes I think when we're looking at things in the Bible, and we think, we might think it's a burden, but it's for our protection. It's for our guidance. You know, sometimes with my kids, I've told them not to do things, and they may not understand. Sometimes my parents told me not to do things, and I didn't always understand. But as you grow up and you look back and you go, oh, that was for my protection. That was to watch over me. This is just kind of coming to me, but you know, you think about the Old Testament laws and them washing their hands and doing things like that, and it's like they didn't understand why they had to do it, but now we understand why. Because of germs, because of bacteria, right? And so God was protecting them, and they didn't even know it. They just knew, I need to follow. Y'all, in our life, when God's asking us to do something, it should not be a burden. It should be a joy. And I'm gonna end it like this, okay? If someone has done something so awesome and so great for you, and then they say, hey, can you do the dishes? Or, hey, could you help me out in this? Is it not a joy to do it because they've done something so great, so awesome for you that, you know, like, man, they, you know, I don't know if right now I gave all of you $20,000 and then I said, but you know what, I'd really appreciate it if you guys all showed up next Saturday and we're gonna clean up the yard and clean up and shampoo carpets and do all this and I just love you and here's 20,000. Hopefully most of you go, wow, 20,000. Yeah, I'm there next Saturday because I appreciate what you did. I don't know. This might be terrible examples. I don't know. But yeah, you're ready for the 20,000. But y'all, Jesus has done so much for us. More than we could ever repay. So much. So, to just follow what He says to do should not be a burden. It should be a joy. It should be a joy that, God, You've done so much for me. And I think also if we would just understand that He's not doing it to harm us. He's not doing this to keep us from having fun. He's doing it to protect us. To protect us from regrets. To keep us safe. To guard our hearts. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you guys would, please stand. And I'd just like you to bow your heads this morning. And if you're feeling the weight of the world, if there's a stress, if there's something in your life, I just ask that you begin to pray and ask God to help you. To take away the worry. Y'all, I'm not going to lie to you right here in a few moments. I'm going to pray about some things because I've got some real issues in my heart right now. And I've got some real worries, and it's not just something light. It's something heavy. And if God doesn't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. But y'all, it's not mine to carry. If I have the Lord, if I'm yoked together with Him, He's going to guide me. He's going to direct me. He's going to take care of these circumstances, whatever they are. And this morning, if you've been feeling burdened, you've lost your joy, you've lost your peace, this is the time to just begin to cry out to Jesus. Lay it at His feet. Truly lay it at His feet. And have faith and trust and listen to His voice. Father, we come before You now. You, Lord, You know where my heart's at, Lord. You know the worries that I have right now that I don't need to have. But Father, my faith sometimes is so weak. Father, I pray for everybody in this room right now, Lord, that if we're burdened, if we've lost our peace, we've lost our joy, if there's something weighing on us, that right now we just give it to You, Father. And that we would trust that You are able, whatever the circumstances is, Lord, that You are able to take care of all these worries, all these cares, all these doubts, all these struggles. Father, may we find peace this morning. May we truly find rest. May we lay our burdens at Your feet right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Y'all spend some time alone with the Lord now.
Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for the price You paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love You came, You gave the peace.
Trust that your labor, that your work will be for the things of eternal value. That we will not be like the rest of the world, just chasing after the clothes and the food and the immediate. And I do pray that your burden that you've given it to Jesus this morning. And y'all, don't keep it in. Maybe you need to talk. Don't wait till it's so overwhelming that you spiral down in depression, or you use things of this world to try and meet a need that it can't meet, that only Jesus can meet. And so, as I was praying, I was thinking of all the times in the Bible, Old Testament, that the Israelites didn't trust. When God's leading them out and they have no water, they have no food, and God looks down and He's like, "How long will I put up with you people?" Jesus in the New Testament, and the storm comes and the disciples are all panicked, and "How long will I put up with you people?" We sang "Oceans" this morning, and "Call me out upon the water." And Peter walked out on the water, and what did he do? He began to look at the storms of the life, the storms, and he began to sink. And how many of us, as we look at the storms around us, and we begin to sink? And Jesus reached down immediately when Peter cried out and pulled him up, and he says, "Why did you doubt?" See, I could have preached for a lot longer. Why did you doubt? I think of the man, and I think his son was sick. And Jesus says, "If you believe." And he says, "Father, I believe, but oh, help me with my unbelief." You ever been there? "Lord, I do believe, but Lord, help me with my unbelief, because sometimes it's just so hard." He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I pray that if you haven't got anything from this morning, but that you would get the... I should have had Amanda get it and put it up on the screen and Google it, what the yoke looks like, and it's two. Maybe that image will stick with you, the two yokes, that it's you and Jesus right there, pulling and working together. Bible study tonight, we're in 2 Timothy, I think, chapter 2, I'd have to look, 6:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.
Thank you for this.